You may be seated. It's just so good to have you here tonight. We want to give our speaker plenty of time. Now, he is here tonight, Pastor Nair, who is our missionary speaker, but he is here with Pastor Barry Somerville, who is a pastor at Finger Lakes Baptist Church. Obviously, that's west of us up in the Finger Lakes region, and he traveled here tonight as well. So I'm going to, first of all, introduce Pastor Somerville. He's going to come up and introduce our speaker because he knows him much better than I. So, Pastor?
Thank you, Pastor. Great to see such a good crowd out on Wednesday night. Like you said, I'm over west. Geneva, New York is the closest huge city. Yeah, I'm sure you're familiar with all that kind of stuff, but we enjoyed the drive over here. It took us about an hour and a half, and I've been over here to Casanova a couple times, but it's been like centuries. Brother Nair is a really good friend of mine. We met around 1983 when I was pastoring up in New Hampshire, and we just kind of hit it off, especially when his daughter threw up in my car. he tells that story every once in a while when he's over there in India. But we began to support his church up there in New Hampshire. The Lord moved me to Pennsylvania, and we were able to get a little more support for him down that way. And every once in a while, he just calls on me to be a liaison to try to reach some other churches in New York State for him to come. I've been able to go over there about half a dozen times. I've preached in his church and some of the area churches where he's at. I've been as far north as Punjab, as far northeast as Manipur, been to Bangladesh, and he's in Trivandrum all the way down the southern tip. And the Lord's really greatly used him to reach people of India. He has real heart for the folks there. They have been able to begin three Bible colleges, several satellite colleges, where they're training people to go out and win souls and pastor churches and be involved in Christian schoolwork, things of that nature. And he's been able to start, by God's grace, over 4,000 Baptist churches. So the Lord's greatly used this man in that part of the world. And I count it a privilege to be his friend. And we'll just let him come and finish the story.
Good evening. I'm so thankful that God has given this opportunity. Barry's been a good friend with me a long time, and he's been with me in India, and I just met him in New Hampshire in 1983. My three daughters were traveling with me. The first time ever my second daughter had a thick ham. So she didn't like that anyway somehow. He just came and picked me up from another Baptist church, then he took me to his church. On the way, she got throw it up. And I was so embarrassed. My wife was embarrassed. But he was so cool. He said, "Don't worry about it." That stuck my heart. You know, he's kind of so patient, so cool. It's a good car. He took some of the napkin. Even he did not allow us to wipe it out. He did that. That kind of servant's heart, really. Praise the Lord for that. Every God's people must be having a servant's heart. We praise God for that. As I'm standing before you, I'm so thankful for having me this meeting here. Today, I just arrived with Barry, and we had a good time driving over here. As I'm standing before over here, you're so interested in mission work. That's the reason even this Wednesday night you gathered here to hear an Indian preacher. And mission work is a joint venture of God's people working together. And God calls somebody else. Some church send them. People pray. Some hold the rope. And they go. Somebody come to know Christ as their personal Savior and Lord. Years back, a preacher came to India. He was speaking to a seminary where I graduated. From there, he came to our college. After he preached in our chapel, I was driving to the airport. I asked him, "Pastor, how do you come to know Christ? I always get enthused to hear how people come to know the Lord." So he shared his testimony. In turn, he asked me, "Pastor Nair, how do you come to know Christ?" I said, "I came to know the Lord through a medical missionary." And then he said, "I know you were from a Hindu background." "Yes," I said, "yeah." "What is his name?" I said, "His name is Dr. Kundan Kanoyer from Ohio, from Baptist Missions." And so I went to a small hospital. There I came to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Then this pastor started almost crying tears. He said, "What happened? Did I say anything wrong?" "No. When I was a teenager, this medical doctor came to my church, and our church began to pray for him, support in a smaller way. And we never knew that how much the Lord has worked through that man. Now look at the ministry which you came across the Lord because of him." That was a tremendous kind of blessing for me. I was raised in a Hindu family. My parents were very devotees of Hindus. So they raised me up in a Hindu manner to become serving our Hindu god and goddesses. We have family temples and all. But as I was growing and doing all the ritualism, going to temple, never ever satisfied me. As I began to grow, a deep emptiness began to grow in me. Then I finished my school and college. Then I went to Army. I was commissioned Indian Army Force. So I began to serve there. Even then, I was trying to be religious. But nothing was satisfying me. I began to work hard, and finally I was promoted to be an officer. I was transferred in northeastern part of India. There, God blessed me with a disease, tuberculosis. When I heard that, with that examination over, the result came, I was so disappointed. Being a man with an ambitions and goal, here I fell with this contagious disease. So we began to search in a hospital where I can treat in a better way. Army has got a hospital, but they did not have a sanatorium. So in search, we came to know there was a hospital run by Baptist Mission having a tuberculosis sanatorium. And we tried to get an admission over there. Finally, they allowed me to go to that hospital. As I went there, they began to share the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ along with my treatment. Being in a Hindu, believing in 333 million god and goddesses, why should I believe in a foreign god? That was my question to the doctor. But this doctor is a man of God, concerned for soul. One day he just came across and said, "If you can walk, why don't you come to the Bible studies we conducted for the patients?" When the doctor invited you, the patients need to hear that. So I went to that Bible study. As he was teaching the word of God, he said, "If you don't have the Lord Jesus Christ, you will die in your sin and you shall have a lost eternity." I got upset. So even was telling, that means all the Indians, those who do not know the Lord Jesus, they're all going to go to that eternal damnation. So that brought me so much anger, but I could not express it. I walked away from the meeting. I did not go back to my room, but I went to the library, found a Bible in my own language. I started reading, not to become a Christian, but arguing with the missionary folks and the people come with the gospel. So telling them mine is better than yours. That cost me too much, because after a few months, I finished Bible completely one time within 5 months' time, page to page. I began to take God's word out of context, began to argue with the people, those who come with the gospel. I did not know it was God's word then. So it was a strange thing for me. I began to just argue with the people. That cost me, because after 6 months, people doesn't come nearby me because I'm a strong case there. They said, I'm ruining their time. But this doctor never gave me up. Yeah, every time he come with a smiling face, he began to share the gospel of the Lord Jesus. But I kept on reading the word of God. Make the story very short. Around 8 to 9 months' time, I saw people die with TB in that hospital. The medication I was taking, it was not doing any good thing for me. But I was in a confused stage. I was so religious in my own religion. Here I'm confused with the other, especially Christianity. But I was so confused, I was disappointed, discouraged. Maybe around after a year, I thought I'll pray to Jesus along with other Hindu god and goddesses. That did not bring any good thing, because Jesus Christ is not one of the God. He is the Lord, and beside him there is no God. And that did not bring any good thing. So just I was trying to do that because of my disappointment, discouragement. But I kept on reading the Word of God. And the problem with me, I did not want to admit I'm a lost sinner. I need a living Savior. Rather, I was always just taught that you have to do some more good works, more karma, other righteous works, so that gradually you'll be able to reincarnate with other things. Well, I am telling this purposely. I'm telling because so many Eastern mysticism coming in the name of New Age movement to this country. Sorry to say, so many Christians even just get involved in that kind of things. It's all a new name in the old Hinduism. There is no hope in that. There is nothing. None of those can bring peace and joy and happiness to a man or woman unless they come to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. But the thing is that what my thinking. That was I was born in a high caste Hindu family. Only things I have to do some more things. So that's a kind of a hope and a false hope. We began to move towards that. But I'm confused here. No peace, no happiness. 18 months passed in the hospital. Almost I saw many people died with TB. My health was not doing any good thing. Then the third time I was reading the Bible, I came across Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9. The Word of God says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? The first time, God's Spirit began to work through that word, convicting that I got a wicked heart, I'm awfully sinned against God. And the first time I was so under conviction of my own sin, I began to look back to my own religion, Hindu religion. The religion says, God often manifests to destroy the wicked and save the righteous. But the Bible, which I heard many times saying, there is no righteous, no, not one, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, which means I don't have hope in that. But thank God, the Lord Jesus Christ, the gospel I heard hundreds of times, he came to this world to seek and save which was lost. In fact, he's the only person came to seek and save which was lost in sin. And not only he just came and he died in behalf of me, not only he died, he's a risen Savior. If I call upon him, I shall be saved. That morning, all the gospel I heard, it came so crystal clear to me, I could not do any better things than kneeling down that morning, asking the Lord Jesus Christ to come to my heart and save me. Praise God, he did so. I strongly believe if any man or woman be called upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I won't jump up and down because I know the Lord saved me. But I was so careful because I'm already nuisance in the hospital. So I was just walked down and I wanted to meet with this doctor. As I was going to his home, he was coming on the way. He met me on the road, said, why you are here? I said, I want to tell you something. I got saved this morning. And he was praising hard. We just prayed together on the roadside. We don't want to even go to the office. But he came back. But the thing is that I was so excited because God saved me. I was seeking for something. God provided me. I know even if I die with TB, even the small time of time, I knew that I will surely go to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. So I came back and began to go around and talking to the people. Some people got upset because we were fighting against. Some people's eye was just getting bigger. I said, even 30 minutes before, I never thought I became a Christian. But now God spoke to me. I began to realize that I accept the Lord Jesus Christ. I began to share the gospel. Nearly around 189 people in that hospital, every one of them heard gospel out of my mouth within 3 weeks' time. That brought problem because TB contracted people should not be talking much. They put me in bed rest. But I said, doctor, I'm feeling all right. It's all right, but he should be in the bed. Anyway, every once in 3 weeks, we have to take all the medical check. It was my due. I went for my X-ray and blood and other tests. That evening, doctor said, something wrong with your result. You must come back tomorrow for X-ray and other blood test. So I went that day. Afternoon, he came and said, G.S., I cannot keep you legally in this tuberculosis hospital because there is no symptom of TB. God took the TB away from me. Then I was there for his doctor. He's a doctor. Anyway, he kept me one more month there. I began to run around, play around because he wanted to make sure that I'm all right. Then I went back to army. After 6 months, God called me to his ministry. And with his help, I resigned from army, went to a small Bible college. The great burden was to reach Toronto people. I had a grandmother who died in 1967, just before I went to Army. One of the best women I ever knew in that community. So much upright, but she never heard the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. That was a great kind of a goal for me to reach out to our own people. Meanwhile, when I got saved, I wrote to my parents. They kicked me off from the family. I could not go back to my home. Almost 8 years. Because I'm kind of in a debt to the family. But anyway, I went back to this army and resigned from that, went to a small Bible college. There God began to burden my heart to preach to our own people. So we formed a small gospel team and began to travel around after graduation, preaching God's word. As we traveled, we began to see that people, those who got saved, they did not have a place to go worship the Lord in truth and spirit. That brought under conviction, not only winning souls, discipling, maturing by establishing local Bible-believing churches. So we just entered in the church planting ministry in 1978. Then from there, God began to just burn our heart to train more nationals. One of the reasons was India is in a closed mission field. You cannot send missionaries to India from 1978 onwards. So even the medical doctor was asked to leave from our country. So that brought in a great need to train nationals back in home. There are two reasons. To bring a national to this country, train them for 5 years, sending back their homeland cost nearly $75,000 to $80,000. But after 4 or 5 years, people just have the taste of America. They don't want to go back. So they better train nationals back in home. Whereas under $4,000, you can train 4 years a national back in home, knows the language and the culture. They are ready to get to the field. With a special program we do back in our home, we can plant more churches across India for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. So I just like to bring the up-to-date of the ministry, what we are doing. India now is almost 1.45 billion people. That means India may overtake China. India will have nearly 1.5 billion people with year 2020. Then India became one of the largest populated country in the whole world. That means 1/5 of the total population of the globe is going to live in India. And we have several languages, 1,800 different dialects, 100 major languages. We work with 45 different languages. We started our ministry over here in Trivandrum. That was my hometown. We started the ministry. That's my second church there. And we start working. All the ministry goes from our People's Baptist Church, where I am pastoring. This is our first service. That is in our Malayalam language. That's our colloquial language. Then we also got a second service for the English service where people come. And our church is growing and people being saved. And we take around at least 6 months' time before we give baptism, because after the baptism, people come to know they are Christian. They ostracize from the family. Persecution comes. So we ground them in the Word of God, then we give baptism. And I've been working such a long time now. We are training some young people, even taking care of our church and handing over little by little this ministry to some of our trained people. As you think about India became closed mission field, God burdened our heart to start a small Bible institute. Our goal was our state alone. So the language was in our language. We trained in a small Bible institute that founded in 1980. Then God began to give more burden to reach other states, so it became a college, which means the language of teaching changed into English language. Then year 2000, it became seminary. We started with 7 students, a smaller way. Years after years, God began to bless. So far from our college, until last year from this college, nearly 3,700 people have been graduated from our college. And one of the main reason, train these people, and we help them to get the ministry to plant churches. Out of this, nearly 3,300 of them are in full-time ministry, working with our ministry and planting churches. We really want people to just come to know Christ, and we involve in church planting ministry. I strongly believe that's one of the dear to our Lord Jesus Christ. Then we have nearly 3,300 from this college alone working in church planting ministries. We started in a very small way. We started in a rented building, year 1978. We started, then 1985, God has given little money to buy in a 1/3 of an acre land. By the way, as I'm standing over here, 1980, a couple of pastors from this country came to visit the college I graduated, one of them from Albany, New York. Dr. Dudley Long, he's with the Lord, and he just came, and you're just starting the ministry, just like a father to me, and he's the one just encouraged me to come over here and talk to people. We've been able to have this ministry begin to grow from there. So we got a 1/3 of an acre land. Then we put a building like this, 10 times bigger than this. And that means coconut leaves, bamboos, half wall, fully air conditioned. I'm glad it is not in New York State. But God has given more facilities to our college. But still, forward it, please. Right. God began to give more facilities to train more people, but still we are using a small portion, which we started from the beginning, because I want the students, those who come, all the faculties, the newer ones, may know how we started, how God was faithful in supplying all these needs. And God mightily provided the buildings, and we've been able to train more people. And we have an auditorium, nearly 3,500 people can sit. We've been able to just reach out, the first and second year men and women. We work with the 45 different languages. And 4 years they go to school. In that time, we send out all the students, all the faculty, and some staff to summer ministries. So every student and every faculty need to go to field 10 weeks. They go and help the local churches, which we just planted. In that, they've been able to just go and winning souls. They'll be able to reach out the new areas. And every evening, they will be having gospel meeting, organized gospel meeting for 10 weeks. And so when these people graduate, we don't have to tell them. God already began to work in their heart to go a certain place and start working there, start local churches. We began to train in every areas of ministries. So these men and women, they graduated and go help in the local churches and plant new churches and reach out young people and women for the gospel ministries. But India is a country with not only that the population. India's got many religious groups. India's got Hindus, second largest Islamic population in the world lives in India. And we also got Sikhism, Jainism, Buddhism, Zoroastrianism, Sindhism, and many other tribal groups. So it's one state to another state, different languages. So the different culture. Sometimes people think India is one whole big curry. It's not so. Go to different parts, different curries, and different culture. So we've been praying to send some students in northern part of region. We send, they start some churches. Then we began to see to plant another college there, somehow to reach out the 7 states of North India, as well as Pakistan, Afghanistan, Bangladesh, Tibet, and those areas. That is our plan. So we send out some graduates, start some churches. Then we started in a Bible college there, around 30 to 100 miles from Trivandrum to northern region. And we trained over 300 people from that college. We've been able to start more churches there. We have to turn down many students last year and the year before last, because all our ministry over here running in the rented buildings, except the girls has got 2 buildings, which we already own. The rest of them are rented buildings, the halls and other things. It takes long and a lot of money there. And there are limitations to take the residential students there. So we turned down many students last year and the year before last. We've been praying to have a piece of land. By the grace of God, we've been able to graduate many, started many churches along with the Pakistan border, cross-border some people, train them and sending back to their own places. And so it's a unique ministry need a piece of land. This is a piece of land we are on the way to buying this, adding a little more land. We paid almost 90% of money for that. And the need, if Lord willing, we like to put some men's dormitory before next July, so we can have at least 150 male students over there to reach out many people. Every graduation, after graduation, all the students go to summer ministries. They knock on door, give tracts, and talk to people, then we'll have an organized gospel meeting. This year we send out 60 teams. Each team costs nearly $3,000 to keep them 10 weeks, around 8 to 10 people. Then they go for evening meetings. You can imagine, this year we have 60 teams, 60 meetings in 10 weeks we had. Almost thousands of people came to know Christ as their personal Savior and Lord. We've been able to disciple and maturing these people and Bible study then established in local churches. The central part of India is a lot of tribal, lot of persecution problem. This man who is standing with me around 18 years back, I was preaching, he came to stone our meetings. The third day, I took him aside and talked to him that even he came and he trusts the Lord Jesus Christ. He was ostracized from the family, came to college, graduated with a master's, went back and started Blessed Hope Baptist Church. From there, we've been able to start a Bible Institute, became a Bible college there now. So there are 8 states there, a lot of persecutions, almost around 1,800 miles from Trivandrum, and a lot of persecution there. But we've been able to graduate many people. 130 students are studying now, and our aim is to train more people, discipling. Even in the midst of persecution, they've been able to start churches through that ministry there. And a lot of persecution, people been killed there, manhandled, but still the gospel is going for there. They study in the classroom, from there they get graduates, then they go to the field, they give the tracts and give the gospel and Bible studies, establishing local churches. This church building, the old church building, was burned around 8 years back. 2 of the people been killed from this church. But this pastor went back and brought people. We've been able to rebuild this building around 2 years back. Now almost the whole village came. We had a good congregation going on there. All of these children's parents been killed during that violence. This pastor, the graduate of our college, now he and his wife looking after these children. We are building a children's home for them. And I was there for the beginning of this year for a meeting. So these children came to see me, and they've been able to give a good number of songs and giving testimony. This man over here is speaking that though my parents were dead and killed during the violence time, but I have a great hope now we are in heaven, and someday I can see him because I know the Lord Jesus Christ. A tremendous testimony for that. Praise God, they came to know Christ. It was in a very lot of police were outside when we were having meetings, but the church has been strengthened even in the midst of persecutions. Then we also got a layman training center in 25 different parts of India. 2 years course, they study in the classroom. Along with that, they go reach out the villages. When they finish their studies, there'll be a local church be planted over there. There are 750 laymen are trained over here. This one of the church near Bangladesh border. 2 of the men went to Bangladesh from the here, now reaching out and establishing churches. We also got some children's home. We don't call orphanage. This one of the home came out of a tsunami. When tsunami hit it, we have a church there, Faith Baptist Church. We have 58 children, and we've been able to bring them. All those children came to know Christ as their personal Savior and Lord. And so I was with them in the month of August, and the girls were ready to go to school. They said they would like to take a photo with me, a selfie, so took a photo. And we have 25 children's home with the 490 children. Some need uniforms, some need bicycles. We try to help them, but mostly we try to lead them to Lord Jesus Christ. Try to build some homes for them. Each children's home are under one local church. So The pastor and his wife became their parents. They grow along with Christians. Our aim is that not only feeding and clothing and educating, but they may come to know Christ as their personal Savior and Lord. So these children never just be knowing that they are alone. Then the girls, those who are trained in our Bible college, they go to this children's home. They've been able to taught them and been able to work with them also as a children's ministry. We also got an abused girls home that is in northern region of India. And one or other way, these girls been abused. We have 35 girls there. And the pastor Lexman took a special interest with his wife, looking after these girls. And they go to school. They've been counseled. They come back. They've been able to just learn some kind of embroidery work. And thank God, all these girls now came to know Christ as their personal Savior and Lord. This house, we are on the process of buying for them and praying that the Lord may just provide for that. And all these children, especially this girl, she was 3.5 years old, sold by her uncle to a tea shop in Kathmandu. And we rescued that girl. Now she's 17, going on 18 now. And she wants to come to Bible college to learn. We thank God for that, what a great change brought them. Another children's home in Punjab near Pakistan border. The church is growing there. We thank God the ministry is growing there. And people have been saved and churches been planted in that region for the glory of God. Our ministry also went to Nepal. We graduate many students, sent to Nepal, start some churches there. They've been able to go villages and town. And one by one, we lead to Lord Jesus Christ. Now we started a Bible Institute there. It became a college in Nepal. So we have now 4 colleges. And this Nepali pastor has been able to reach Nepal for the glory of God. From there to northeastern part of India, a lot of tribal, reaching out with the gospel. They went and start churches, school ministries. Outside of classroom, we've been able to lead these children to Lord Jesus Christ. If somebody, okay. Then through the children, we've been able to just lead their parents to the Lord. Then we've been able to just start churches for the glory of God. So I appreciate your thoughtful prayers for this ministry. The Lord may continue to help us. Our aim is to winning soul, discipling. These young men and women graduate from our college, they might be able to just reach out India for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah, we have some more pictures. Maybe it's not going through. Maybe you can help me. Okay. Our aim is to reach out villages. There are 600,000 villages in our land never heard gospel. That's our aim, to reach people. And churches being built. We continually educating all the believers that means strong members, strong families, strong churches, and strong evangelism. Some became a larger churches for the glory of God. Our ministry also in Burma, nearly 350 people been graduated from Myanmar, sent to Burma, start churches there. And there also the ministry is growing. And the church has been planted over there for the glory of God. We also got a medical outreach ministry. God blessed us with 4 children. And that's my daughter and the photo here. She worked with our ministry. Her name is Debbie. She teach English as well as work with the children's home. As well as medical outreach ministry. This is my son, youngest son. And he wanted to be a medical missionary. So he's graduating with a medical doctor this year, end of this year, January 1st, then he'll be going to help our ministry. Through that, we've been able to just reach out doctors, nurses, and even the community for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Our aim is to reach people for the Lord. We started with 4 men and $5, 1976. Some people thought we will never go further than 1 week. Little is much when God is in it. And thank God, Pastor Barry was there for that meetings there. tremendous work in children's ministry. And this hospital where I was, this is the place. Now this hospital doesn't have a tuberculosis sanatorium. I was there in the beginning of this year. I just went there. There was a devotion going on. I walked away, but the young man ran after me, said, "Uncle Nair." I said, "Do you know me?" I said, "Yes. I was a teenager when you were in the hospital. My mother was the nursing superintendent. Now I am the administrator of this hospital. Will you please come and talk to the doctors and nurses?" And a tremendous opportunity, encouraging how this doctor led me to the Lord Jesus Christ. It's all happened. We have one medical doctor, never gave me up, give the gospel. A tremendous work among the children. We have a lot of graduates graduated. This is one of the Bodo tribes. I was there for their meeting. Nearly 30,000 people were there. We have 48 graduates work there. Our aim is to reach India for the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's my wife, Sarah, and she got saved through my ministry. And without her, I was not able to do what I was doing. But 2 years before, we found she's an early stage of Parkinson's. So I do appreciate the thoughtful prayers. So we are praying that the Lord may help us to move her away from all the stress, and so that she can help me further in the ministry. And we said the four people we started, one was Brother Philip, still work with me. The other man was Brother Matthias, work with me. The third one is my wife and myself. The fourth man died in a plane crash around 20 years back. You can see Brother Barry was here. Barry's wife, a wife was there. The daughter was there, our 40th anniversary. So I do appreciate your thoughtful and continual prayers for this ministry. The Lord may help us to carry on. It's all just happened. One medical missionary never gave me up, and giving the gospel 18 months, praying for my soul, and got saved. Little is much when God is in us. Don't ever underestimate somebody goes and winning some soul. The blessed hand of God can use it, multiply it, even the years to come. There are a lot of need. We have a website and we have some brochures there. And please do pray for us. Anyway, I'll take another 10 minutes. Before 8 o'clock, I'll finish, brother. Okay. Because back in home, we don't keep a clock. We keep calendar. We turn over the calendar and preach, but I'm afraid your smiling face will go away. So I want to keep you in a good smiling spirit. See, I like to just read a small story, which is an incident took place in the king's time. The incident can find in 2 Kings chapter 5. 2 Kings chapter 5. I like to read the first three verses, then I'll just bring a thought to you. Maybe it will help you and me to go on for the Lord Jesus Christ. Chapter 5, 2 Kings, verse 1. Now, Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master, and honorable because of by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. Everybody knows this story. Naaman. I'm not talking about Naaman today, but I'd like to make some comment over here. He was a great man with his master because his king respected him, and honorable because he honored him wherever he went, did work honestly. And the word further says, because of him, the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. Naaman did not know who has given, really helped him. I often tell God work around us in an everyday basis. Get our attention that we might be able to turn to him. Naaman never thought the Lord was helping him. But the heaven sees that. That the Lord was, by Lord, the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria through this man. But he never just understood that. Then the word further says, he was also a mighty man, mighty in valor. But that's a sad statement. He was a leper. That's a picture of a sinner. People can be mighty, valor, great, honorable, educated, wealthy, anything. But the Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That made us away. The second verse says, and Syrian had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. Now, as he was conquering and coming through Samaria, I'm putting some sanctified thinking, maybe as Naaman and his company was going, there may be some people were on the road with a family, with a mother and father, watching and looking to these people within a small girl, a little maid or stature. It's amazing that Naaman's eye fell upon her. He just took her forcefully from them because she became a captive and brought to his home. And the word of God says she waited Naaman's wife. He did not adopt this girl, but just brought like a slave to for Naaman's wife. Verse 3, and she said unto her mistress, would God, my Lord, were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy. Then she gave a message. My thought is here. Nobody is too little to share the gospel. No one is too little. It's amazing that the word of God says a little maid, maybe by stature, maybe her age, she was little. Notice she doesn't have a name over here written there. It's something sometimes you can see, turn the pages of God's word, you can see that, how often God uses people even their name is not even known to us. How often we try to do things for our name. It's not for our name. His work need to be accomplished. He can use anyone else. No one is too little. Let us just dig a little more of this girl. This girl was a captive, brought to Naaman's home, and she's waiting upon Naaman's wife. She's a slave, a little slave. What interest will give the word or testimony of this little girl for Naaman and his wife? They are so honorable people, educated people, respectable people. I strongly believe this girl is from godly background. She could be so much of nagging and crying and just a different attitude when she was serving over there. Because she could complain to say that, look at that. This man is very evil. I was a prince in my home. My father and mother took care of me. They gave everything to me. But look at this man, cruel man, took me forcefully, brought me to his home as a captive. Look at, make me, I'm just a slave to his wife. Could have been a wrong attitude, isn't it? I strongly believe she might be just taught by her parents, all because of our foreparents, disregard our Jehovah, our God. We did not obey him. That's the reason all the enemies are coming upon us. He loved us so much, brought us to this country, gave everything to us, but we disregard him, walked away from his word because of our sin and iniquities and wickedness. All these things are happening. So she thought, under the provision of God, all these things happened. Remember the earlier my testimony, I said, when I was serving Indian Army Force, with a great ambition, God blessed me with the disease. If it was not a TB, I would have ended up in an army hospital. Nobody would share gospel. Today, I can tell that was a blessing for me. Sometimes God allows things in our life. He can turn around that situation to reveal himself to us, that our life can be changed. So this little girl began to realize it's all because of our foreparents' mistakes, disregard God and God's word. They just walked away from him. That's the reason things have happened. So he sent me over here, but I'm not going to be grumbled, not going to be nagging, not going to be so much grouching, nothing. Wherever he put, I am going to be his servant. A servant. And what happened? She had a concerned man, concerned girl. Naaman did not consent to her, but she was concerned to Naaman. Maybe she might have seen this Naaman's wife sometimes. She had everything, but she's unhappy. Maybe she might have asked her, why, what's the reason? Then she might have told her, everything I have, but look at my husband. He's a leper. He's a leper. She was a concerned person. Naaman, in a sense, did evil to her, but she wanted to do good to him. What a great Christian character, you know, overcome evil with good. He made the wrong thing to her, but she wanted to do some good thing for him. And the word of God says, and she said unto her mistress, would God, my Lord, wherewith the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy. So this girl with compassion, she said, if the Lord will go and just meet with the prophet there, surely they can find an answer for his problem. I often think of why Naaman and his wife has to listen for this little slave girl. Maybe he might have noticed, she might have noticed, this little girl is different than other slaves. They might have plenty of slaves there. But her attitude is plus and one. She does everything with wholeheartedly. I put this way, her word was supported by her character. That's there is no question they asked. You know, as soon as Naaman's wife heard, she was immediately conveying the news to Naaman. Naaman did not have any hesitance to take the news to the king. He went and talked to the king. King, there's a slave girl in my home. She's much different than other people. And she's the one brought me this message, said if I go back to Samaria and meet with the prophet, I can find answer to my problem. And the king said, go. You read that story, the amount of the goods he took to please the prophet, that shows how badly this man was need to recover from his disease. He went there. As he went there, you know that Elisha sent his messenger, told him to go and just dip yourself 7 times in Jordan River. But Naaman, though he has got a need, but he's a little pride man, proud man, and he began to reason. I thought that Elisha will come out and just cast my leprosy in a special healing service. That's what he thought. He was expecting a healing service there. But he said, no, simply go. Even Elisha did not come. So he was angry and wrote, our water is much better than your water. That was my problem in the beginning. My religion is better than your religion, see? Oh, our water is much better. The muddy water of Jordan is not going to cleanse me. He was reasoning. As he was wroth, he was going back. His own servant said, Father, if the prophet now says some better things, will you not do it? Another interesting thing, God used 3 servants to convert this mighty valor, honorable person. Little girl, Elisha's servant, and his own servant. You don't have to be a great educated person to bring gospel to somebody else. Anyone can take the gospel. Anyone, those who know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, surely you can tell gospel to other people. So this man's mind was changed. He went and dipped himself 7 times, healed. And Jesus Christ recognized his story. There were so many people in the time of Naaman, but Naaman is the only person got healed. And Jesus Christ recognized the story. What a wonderful way. Nobody's too little. Let me close with that. God blessed me with 4 children. 2 of the girls lives here. One is in Philadelphia, outskirts of Philadelphia. One is in Dallas, Texas. 3 years back, I was traveling. One afternoon, my second daughter, Dawn called me. I said, Dawn, what happened? Then she said, Daddy, I want to tell you something. Then she started weeping. The voice was not coming. Saiva got anxiety. It's my daughter. And so her husband took the phone. I said, is everything all right? She's crying. Daddy, this is the joy, the tears of joy. She could not speak because she's overwhelmed. I said, what happened? Our son, Benjamin, received the Lord Jesus Christ today, Sunday school. He's 7.5 years old. I shout hallelujah and praise the Lord. The pastor was driving me. What happened, Jesus? My grandson got saved. Praise the Lord. I was so just excited. We went to a restaurant to eat food. Then another hour, my daughter called me, said, Daddy, you don't believe us. I said, what? Tell me. We went to a Chinese restaurant to eat food. I said, you Indians are going to Chinese restaurant to eat food. I was kidding. And what happened is that, you know, Dad, as soon as this girl came to take the order, Benjamin looked at her face and asked, do you know Jesus? And Jesus loves you. I said, don't say, I was embarrassed. I said, you don't have to embarrass. You must be doing that. Nobody's too little. If this little girl can be a blessing to Naaman, a Benjamin can be a blessing to a Chinese girl, a medical doctor can be a blessing to my soul. Friends, we have plenty of opportunity. God bless you.